City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation, and that music can mean only one thing. It is time for Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor. It is the show that each and every weekday gets a different studio guest up the tower and asks them to imagine something fairly horrible, really, that their house is on fire. But not to worry, they got the kids out, they got themselves out, they got the dog and the cat and the hamster out, and all they have to do now is dash back in and rescue a pile of steaming hot vinyl. That's right, they get to raid their singles collection and rescue five and only five records from the flames. Which five records would you rescue? That is the question that we are asking today of Chris Griffiths from seminal Liverpool band The Real People. Chris, how are you doing?
Good afternoon. Very well. Thank you very much, Real.
That's very formal. Good afternoon.
Oh, yes.
I had one of your mates.
I'm with my daughter, that's why,
I think. That's right, yeah. If anyone's wondering why Chris isn't too rock and roll today, we are joined in the studio by Holly, who is your daughter. How old are you, Holly?
Eight.
That was eight. We'll have to find out what Holly's musical choices are one day. I'll get you on Take 5.
I think some of these are the same.
Have you been schooling her in the ways of
yeah,
proper
yeah.
Rock and
well,
roll?
Some of these songs we've been playing because we've been thinking we might have to talk about them. So they've been on the iPod in the kitchen getting blasted out.
And you see, that is, I think, the most important thing you can give to a child, as well as love, obviously, is a proper rock and roll education. We spoke to Jamie Murphy from Space yesterday on this show, who I know is a pal of yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying all the songs that he put on the show, basically, Oliver's Army and I can't remember what else he put on now, but some good tunes.
He put one of ours on, actually.
He put one of yours, yeah. The Truth by The Real People. Have you got any Space tunes today?
To be totally honest, I haven't, but it wasn't known that I was already saying the compliments.
Mutual appreciation. Yeah. But what he did say was that they all came from his mum, who is his musical influence. Did you get your any sort of rock and roll schooling from your folks?
Yeah, well, actually, my parents, my dad's still in a band, and all my family, you've heard of a guy called Diggsy, who's made famous in Diggsy's Dinner, one of the Oasis songs.
Yeah.
Well, he's my cousin, he's in a band called The Sums, used to be in a band called Cook the Books, and my dad has been a musician for about 30, 40 years. He's been in a band called The Cimarrons and Busker, and he's a left-handed guitarist, and he's now playing bass and learning banjo and stuff like that.
Fantastic, and he must be knocking on a little bit, if I can put it in politely.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but yeah, he's getting around.
I'm just trying to work out, would that have been a Merseybeat band that he was first in there?
No, it was a little bit after that. It was like early 70s, stuff like that, but I think he started playing in like late 60s.
Bit of glam rock?
Not really. I think it was more some of the suits that they used to wear were it was like more cabaret clubs and stuff like that, like even around Liverpool, like Pickwick's and stuff like that, they always used to play, and like the Dockers Club and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
But some of the suits were amazing. We used to have them in our bedroom.
Dress up in them.
We used to.
Did you grow up then with music all around you in the household? Where did you grow up, by the way?
I grew up in Bootle. I still live there. Yeah, I still live around the corner from my parents, which is quite handy, having two children.
Yeah, I
live around the corner from the school I went to, and I know still got all the same school friends and everything.
And obviously your brother Tony founded The Real People with you.
Yeah, me and Tony, we're still in The Real People. Tony's moved up to Southend now, he's got a little bit more pusher, and he lives just by Liverpool Cricket Ground.
Oh, right. For some reason, I thought you meant Southend-on-Sea then. In Essex, I thought that's not posh.
No, well, we're North End, he's South End, that's what we call it.
Yeah, I've got some friends actually live in those the posh flats next to the cricket ground. It's nice. You go to the Gulshan for curry, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I think he's never out there. That's right at the top of his street.
Yeah, oh, fantastic. I think I know exactly where he is there. Well, I'll tell you what, we shall speak about that, and you get on with your brother. Unlike another pair of brothers who don't
get on. But you
know
what? If you know anyone who knows us, they'll tell you a different story. We fight like cat and dog.
I thought it was just one big loving.
Well, sometimes it is. It all depends where we've been and what we've been up to.
I might have to ask Holly about this because she's your daughter here. Holly, does your dad get on with your uncle Tony? Okay. There we go. That's the official line on that. Well, we do have the small matter of your five tunes to get through here, Chris, as well as a bit of chat about, well, brothers and bands you may or may not have influenced and all the rest of it. And the first one you've gone for is a David Bowie classic.
Yeah, love David Bowie. We actually, as the band The Real People, we toured with him around Norway about 6 years ago now. And we finished the tour off playing up in Old Trafford Cricket Ground. with Elbow and a few other great support bands, and fantastic. We played a few English dates with them as well.
That's interesting that you played with Elbow, actually, because we've seen them go stratospheric since last year when this was released.
Yeah, this is the thing about you never say never when you're in a rock and roll band, and a lot of people have rubbed the real people out, and I think Elbow coming along and breaking through like they've done. I think it's opened the doors for a lot of other bands who are still going, but not really doing much, you know what I mean? And getting into, like we're getting onto our 40s now, do you know what I mean? I've just turned 40. I think my brother's 42, something like that.
You don't look a day over 39.
No, I know, I don't. No, I don't. And I look at the guys from Elbow. I think we look a lot better.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's what I was going to say. I mean, Elbow, they've been knocking around for so long.
Yeah,
and then they've always been there or thereabouts, supporting, had a good sort of cult following, if you like, and now suddenly they're breaking through. So you can still see that happening potentially for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. As we were talking about before, the new stuff that we've actually been recording, I think, is the best recordings that we've ever done, and the best songs that we've done. And although we've been writing for so many years, wrote for so many other different people, we just seem to have found this little sound now, and these certain bunch of songs that we've gone, right, this is it. We're not going to move on from this now. Let's get this out, get this released, and then we're going to go backwards a little bit and release some of the unreleased stuff and give us time to write our new album.
So for any hardcore release fans out there, or indeed people who want to get into them from afresh, when's your album coming out and what's it going to be called?
We don't know what it's going to be called yet, because that's one of the hardest jobs in show business, trying to call your album. But hopefully it'll be out before the end of the year. We've got a guy actually called Steve Powell, another in Liverpool thing. He actually produced the very first Stairs album. Mm. You remember the Stairs? I used to love that retro sound about it. So we actually tracked him down. We didn't know where he lived, what he was up to. We tracked him down and we've given him the first few tracks to mix, and he's actually took the tracks and started working on them last night.
And what about David Bowie, who we were talking about until I took us off on a tangent? What was he like to work with?
Well, he was great. We actually met him, and he was just one of the guys. Really, we've got some great stories. Don't know how many I can tell on air.
Is he still rock and roll then? Because I thought he'd calmed down.
Do you know what? We've got this great story that we got there, and he had a big buffet set out and stuff, and they had all tofu set out and stuff like that. And we're like, no, none of the Scousers touched the tofu. It's obviously for Bowie. And he come along and he started eating a pork pie, and none of us could believe it. Everyone was going, Bowie's eating a pie.
He won't fit into his spaceman costume if he does that too often, will he?
I don't think it might have been a veggie pie, you never know.
But
he was really cool. He spoke to the bands, he signed all albums and autographs from people and family that we had. And he was really, really nice. And then, as I say, we toured with him in Norway. We actually stood in for a band called The White Stripes.
Yeah.
Because they had to pull off the tour, and we jumped on for them, and then he invited us over to do Old Trafford and a few English dates as well.
What do you think of the White Stripes?
I love some. Yeah, they were very, very original. And
that doorbell song, I love that. That might be on my top five.
Just the guitar playing and just the originality of it, of just being a two-piece and stuff like that.
Fantastic. Well, I tell you what, I'm taking you off Bowie again, which is naughty of me, because we're going to play a song now. So I'm just going to say, this is City Talk 105.9. It is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and my guest for this hour, who is Chris Griffiths of The Real People. And his first tune is Jean Genie by David Bowie. City Talk 105.9, that's Jean Genie by David Bowie. And it was the first choice of my guest for this hour on Take 5, who is Chris Griffiths of The Real People. And he was just telling me what a hard song that is to play.
Oh, it is. It's got some weird time structures in there. I was actually trying to learn it through the week. And like the first few bars in threes, then 13s, then 19s, different bar sections. It's mad, but it's a fantastic tune.
It is
full of energy.
It's a good tune. 1972, and it's still. I always think, you know, a song that's nearly 40 years old and it still sounds fresh. It sounds like it could have been made, you know, last week or something. I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Great tune. You, of course, as well as being in the band The Real People, which is still going, you got your album coming out, as you told us about. You're also a music producer.
Yeah, and writer. We've wrote with a lot of other bands, like we've wrote with Ocean Colour Scene, Oasis, we've Atomic Kitten. We had a top 10 hit with a band called Rooster. We had some good success in America with a band called BB Mac. We have the list is as long as we are.
What did you do with Ocean Colour Scene? Was it Mosley Shoals you did with them?
No, it was on one of the later albums, and they just done a straight cover of one of our songs that they were big fans of, a song called Start of the Day.
Yeah.
and they just loved the song from when we done a hell of a lot of touring. They did help us out a lot. Oh, Coliseum, we done a hell of a lot of touring with them, and we were playing the song on tour, and he just come up and just said to mind, we covered that on our album.
Well, when we played The Truth yesterday, which of course is a Real People song, as you know, yeah. I thought that sounded, when that the insistent guitar riff that goes through it, I thought it sounded a lot like Ocean Coliseum, but of course you were knocking around a long time before OCS, weren't you?
No, but we were signed at the same time. That's how we become mutual friends, because we're actually gigging together around 1990. So, and they done a gig in the old, well, I don't know whether it's Nation or something now, but they were having bands on at about 1990, and we play with them in Birmingham, they come down and play with us in Liverpool. And that was about 1990, something like that.
And do you still sort of knock around with them? Are they still mates? Or?
Yeah, really good mates with Steve Craddock and Simon Fowler and Damon. So, sometimes see Damon at the Everton games.
Fantastic. Good stuff. That's what I like to hear. I've got a story about falling asleep on Simon Fowler once in a pub in Birmingham. He had nothing to do with it. He was just politely sat next to me and I slumped over onto him, I'm afraid. So no, I can't even blame him for that. Of course, you mentioned them earlier. A band you did produce was Oasis, and they relate to your second song that you're going to save from the fire, which is Supersonic. Tell us about this one.
This song was, we actually went into the studio after, there's a bit of a long story about the whole thing with Oasis, but eventually when we did get a chance to take them into a proper recording studio and record something, we did actually co-produce this song with them, but our name never got out on the actual title.
Well, let's just rewind a little bit, because it is a long story and we could do a whole show about it. I'm sure it would be a great show. You guys met Oasis when you were on the same bill as the Inspiral Carpets, and of course Noel was a roadie, wasn't he?
Yeah, Noel was a roadie, and because with me and my brother being in our band, he mentioned that he was in a band with his brother, went to see them in a rehearsal, tried to get some money off our company, off our record company, to take them into a studio.
So you went to your record company and said, look, we've seen these lads. Were they called Oasis then? Or?
Yeah, they were called Oasis then.
We think they're good.
Yeah.
Can we get them in the studio?
Yeah, our publisher.
I mean, that's a hell of a boast, isn't it? Because, you know, that's effectively discovering Oasis.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've done. And then our record company knocked them back.
Oh,
so oops. So then we took them down to our little recording studio in Dock Road. And we recorded about, so I'd say about 20 to 30 rough ideas. Out of them rough ideas become this little, the first live demonstration tape, which I'd bring it on down, Rock and Roll Star. A lot of stuff that made it to the very first album, Definitely Maybe.
Definitely Maybe for me. I go misty-eyed when I talk about Definitely Maybe, because I was 18 when it came out. And it just defined my sort of late teens and early 20s period of life. And to have played an integral part in that, as you did, on the one hand, it must be exciting and feel very special. On the other hand, for you not to get the recognition that you deserve for it, does that make you feel bitter?
Well, it's no use being bitter at all, because I think everyone in the music industry and a lot of other people know the whole story about what happened. And eventually, we took an out-of-court settlement to get our name on one of the tracks that I did co-write, which was the B-side of Roll With It, was the track
Columbia.
Called Rocket. Columbia, I never got my name on. There was another song called Rockin' Chair, was the B-side of Roll With It, and there was another song that I don't know whether I can mention or not, but I ended up taking an out called Settlements and just washing my hands of it all.
And does that, you know, when you see this, the kind of money you could have made if maybe you'd pushed it a bit harder, does that make you feel angry or frustrated? Or,
to be totally honest, I've always just been interested in the real people, and if we was a carries on, we didn't want to be the kids walking out of the old Bailey or whatever, going look what we got off Oasis and this, that and the other. We were far too much interested in our own careers, and still are. Do you know what I mean? We'd like to tell people the truth about what happens, and like where we actually took them. We actually took them right up to this record. After this record got released, then we sort of went our separate ways. We still met out of, like, Paul Weller gigs and stuff like that, because we'd done some supports with him and Ocean Colour Scene gigs, and we had a lot of fun. But that's when it started going, where's the money? When are we going to get the credit? And this, that and the other. And that's when it sort of went a little bit sour.
And did you feel that it was Noel or Liam who was stopping you getting the credit, or was it more at a higher level, like a record company level?
Well, to be totally honest, you couldn't really say. I think the whole thing with Noel is he had signed a deal saying that he's wrote all of these songs. So on one hand, it could be him, but Do you know, lawyers are lawyers, record companies are record companies, you know what I mean? I couldn't really say. You know
well,
what I mean?
if he wandered into Zanzibar tomorrow and you're in there, would you buy him a pint?
I wouldn't buy him a pint. I'd expect him to buy me several, though,
yeah.
Actually.
I think he's got deep enough pockets, hasn't he? I tell you what, it's a tune, and you're rightly proud of having your involvement with it. It's Supersonic by Oasis on City Talk 105.9. This is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and my guest, Chris Griffiths, of The Real People, who were the masters to those two apprentices you heard there, Noel and Liam Gallagher, and the rest of Oasis with Supersonic. Great tune. And we heard Chris's involvement there. What he just told me during the song was that he was singing backing vocals as well,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, my brother was singing mainly the main backing vocals in that tune.
Was it just Tony or were you on as well?
It was actually just Tony at the time. Tony got credited at the time, but me and Diggsy were actually in the studio, but I think we were eating the fish upstairs in the studio that was supposed to be floating around in the fish tank.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride, eh? Never mind. Right, I'll tell you what, we'll get three more of your tunes on very shortly on City Talk 105.9, including two. Can you guess this one? Which start with the words, I am thee. I am thee. Two songs starting with those three words coming from Chris shortly, plus another one as well. Plus we'll find out which book and photograph he'd save from the flames as well. That's all coming up on City Talk 105.9.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9. She's right, you know it is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and my studio guest, who is Chris Griffiths. He is of The Real People. I was going to say was of The Real People, but of course The Real People are still very much going. They've got an album coming out shortly, so if you are a fan of The Realies, then watch this space. You're going to tell us when it comes out, Chris.
Yeah, I'll come in and do another interview. Yeah. Like coming here.
Yeah, good. It's like coming up the tower. What we like having you here, especially when you're picking music like that. You've already had Supersonic by Oasis, Gene Genie by David Bowie. By the way, we also normally make someone pick a film or TV series, but I got so excited about Oasis that I forgot to ask you. You've picked The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, The Wizard of Oz. It's what a classic movie. And every time I get ill, I watch it about I must watch it about four times a year.
You're talking about the original classic 1939 Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, the one that changes colour halfway through. And, yeah. Yeah, just all the songs and everything are amazing.
I never had you down. You see, this is the thing. I have too many rock and roll cliches, you see, that I expect you're all going to come in smashing the room up and stuff. And then you pick family-friendly 1939 films like The Wizard of Oz.
There's nothing better when you're being out on a bit of a bender and you've got nothing better to do than get on the couch with a quilt, a bag of Rebels and The Wizard of Oz.
Is that right? That's your
that's
rock hangover.
And roll. That's rock and roll for
yeah,
you.
That's the yang to the yin of rock and roll, is it? Right, well, I tell you what. You're going to save that from the flames with this metaphorical housewife, that's fine. You also get to pluck a photo off the wall as you flee from your house as well. And you have gone for a family snap, haven't you?
I would have to go for a family snap because my wife is from Bootle and she's...
And she'd snap you if you didn't.
Yeah, she'd snap me in half. I've chose a photograph of my wife, myself, my little daughter Holly and my little boy Bobby Joe.
Fantastic. Bobby Joe, we were talking about this yesterday. He sounds like a country and western singer.
Yeah, Bobby Joe Griffiths, like a country guitarist, doesn't he?
Yeah. You got to pick carefully though your names, haven't you, for future stardom. Would you like to see either Holly or Bobby Joe follow you into the music biz?
I don't think it's going to be as lucrative as it has been over the last few years, but if it's in your blood and you want to do it, you've got to do it.
Why isn't it going to be as lucrative? Is it because they're tightening up and squeezing the artists more and more?
Well, no one's buying records. As you know, everyone's downloading and doing this, doing that. And as you know, my mum used to give us pocket money and go and buy your favourite single. And it used to be like £2 or £3 for a single. Now it's 50-60p on a download, so it's not as lucrative as it used to be. All the advances have gone down a lot. Do you know what I mean?
Does that worry you though? Does it worry you that people aren't? We're not the music buying nation we once were.
Well, I think it does. The thing is, the generation of kids nowadays are sort of like, look at you, what, buy music? You just get it for free. Do you know what I mean? Which is our art is supposed to live, but it's not just gonna be. It's gonna go on to like now you've got iBook and stuff like that. Once one person's downloaded it, soon enough someone's gonna find a crack way out to put that online. So it's gonna go through all sorts of the arts.
I agree, but what I think with art, and it's not fair on the artists, I agree, but there are people who've got music within them. I expect you would say you've got music within you and you just want to get it out there, and you would make music whether you're gonna make £10 million off it or £10 off it. You'd just do it, wouldn't you? So will people stop making music, or will we just stop having professional musicians?
Well, I don't know. Do you know, you'd still be making great music in your house. It's like, how are you going to get it out and how are you going to earn money and earn a living from it? Because in the end, there might be fantastic songwriters who've got to go out and try and work just to earn a buck.
I agree. And I also think the problem is, it's great that anyone can publish anything on the internet, but you need filters in place, don't you? Because
that's
let's face
right,
it,
yeah.
there's a lot of rubbish out there.
They could have been able to do this years and years ago. I remember when we were signed to Sony years ago, and everyone was warning Sony about this, and they could have put like these filters on it where you can only download 30 seconds of the song or something like that, which would be great. That would be fantastic advertising. And then if you really like the song, you'd have to pay so much to download the rest. But the way these whiz kids are now and everything, someone finds a way to do crack copies and I suppose it's always been the same, people taping off the radio, doing this, that and the other. But, you know, I just don't know how people are going to make a living out of it if they don't put something on it, some sort of ban on people downloading and file sharing.
Do you refuse to file share? If you want anything, because you mentioned earlier you've got an iPod, if you want anything for your iPod, do you buy it properly through the correct channels?
Well, I wouldn't know, because I've got a recording studio and I asked my recording engineer to sort my records
nicely,
out for me.
Nicely sidestepped that one. Well, the third one you've got, and I'm sure this will be on your iPod, is Lazy Sunday by the Small Faces.
Yeah, I first got played this when we were touring, and I got played Ogden's Not Gone Flake, and it was like five guys in the back of a tour bus travelling around Britain, and it was first time I'd heard like Stanley Unwin and stuff like that. And besides like just being in bulk laughing all the time, some of the songs on it and the production on this album is absolutely fantastic. I've actually had it on the iPod playing the kids, and we'd be all been dancing around the kitchen. And I think the neighbours actually think we've got a problem with them, because we're all singing "Wouldn't It Be Nice to Get On With Your Neighbours?"
And you know that Cockney accent that kind of comes in and out throughout his vocal, the lead vocal. Apparently, that was caused, have you heard this one, by an argument with the Hollies, because the Hollies said that they never sang in their normal accent, so they sort of deliberately put it up and down just to sort of as a little dig at them. Yeah, apparently. Had you heard that one?
Yeah, I haven't heard that one, but half of it's Stanley Unwin, isn't it? You know, the fellow who used to talk in the gobbledygook. The old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, half of it's him all doing the rendy dum de doo rum de dum de di day. It's only half fella. But some of the little, he just talks nonsense halfway through, but it's just in his certain language, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what, we shall have a go now, shall we, and hear some nonsense and some good music as well, because it is Lazy Sunday Afternoon by the Small Faces on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, though, with great music and great conversation. This is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor. And as ever on Take 5 between 2 and 3, I have got a willing volunteer with me in the studio. Well, sometimes willing, sometimes unwilling. I think Chris Griffiths is willing today. He's from The Real People, and he is taking us through the five records he would save from his house if it was on fire. Hopefully that won't happen. You just heard the third one there, Lazy Sunday by the Small Faces. You've already missed Supersonic by Oasis and Gene Genie by David Bowie. But we've got two to come, both of which start with the words, I am thee. Have you got it yet? You don't win anything, it's just a little thing I'm trying to do here to see if you can work that great matter. You're also going to save a few other bits and pieces, Chris, from the flames, including a book. Tell us which book you're going for.
What book I would save at the moment is Ian McNabb's autobiography, Up to Now. It's called Mersey Beast.
Yeah.
And I've been given it by the new guitarist in our band, a guy called Martin Lappin. And I'm a bit of a strange reader. I'm not a guy who sits down and reads a book from start to finish. I like to just open it and flick through them. Sometimes I read the back page.
Yeah.
I just like to pick them up and flick through them. But this book, it's because it's about the Liverpool music industry and Ian's life and stuff like that. Every time I open it, I know someone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's one of them. I think it's been brilliant reading.
It's had good reviews, actually. And funnily enough, Ian is on this very show next week. I'm just trying to remember. It's Wednesday, I think. So Wednesday next week, 2 till 3 p.m. If you want to hear Ian McNabb's choices, then he will be on this very show, Take 5, taking us through those. And I was talking to him about it, actually. I think his mum disapproves of it. There's a cover on the dust jacket, a quote from lots of various people going, oh, it's great, rock and roll, blah, blah, blah. And his mum says, I don't like it. There's too many drugs and the women get treated very badly.
I believe his mum threw my brother and our guitarist out of his basement flat the other morning.
Is that right?
How rock and roll Ian can be.
I'm glad to hear you've still got rock and roll going, though, because, you know, as you just said, you're all kind of teetering around the 40 mark now.
Yeah.
You've got kids, but I've mentioned before, Holly's here in the studio with us. You can't really live the rock and roll life you led when you were in your 20s, can you?
Do you want to be? Yeah, I think we're a lot more rock and roll than we were. We just do what we do. We've got a recording studio and we record music whenever we can. And to record, it's an old saying, if you're having a good time while you're recording music, you record good music. And that's the way we treat it. There's no like, if you want to really, really do you've got to do the vocal again and all that. You've got to be teetotal and totally straight. But if we're in the studio writing or practicing, we treat it like a good night in, we call it.
Fantastic. But actually, and the thing is, that the records that do have a raw rock and roll sound to it are always the best ones, aren't they? I think they last longer and are better than overly produced, layered music.
Yeah, for instance, that Lazy Sunday Afternoon, you can tell the engineers were enjoying themselves while they were making it. And some of the Rod Stewart stuff and stuff like that, the Faces stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Degsy's Diner that you mentioned earlier on the Definitely Maybe, who's Degsy is your cousin.
Degsy, sorry.
That to me is, I think it's one of the, although it's kind of a joke track, it's one of the better tracks, I think.
Well, that was actually wrote about the night that Degsy come round to the studio when we were recording with Oasis, and he just wouldn't shut up about what he had for his tea, and that was it. And then it was come to mind for tea, if it was that good, what you had, you know what I mean? So
does he still dine out on being Degsy from Degsy's Diner?
Yeah, I think he still gets a few drinks about it, like, but he does his own thing. He's in a fantastic band called The Sums, and he's got one of the best voices in Liverpool and was one of the best writers I know.
Fantastic. Well, you're going to save Mersey Beast the book because all of your mates are in it, and there's a good reason to save a book. And don't forget Ian McNabb, if you are a fan of the Icicle Works or any of his solo stuff, or indeed just a fan of interesting people, he will be on this show Wednesday of next week between 2 and 3. The show is called Take 5, by the way, and the station is called City Talk 105.9. Stay where you are.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
She's right, you know it is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, just coming up to 2:45 on Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, Howard Hughes will be on after the news at 3 o'clock, driving you home. We've got some football chat between 6 and 7 as well, and then we've got full match coverage of Everton's match versus Sigmund Olomouc. It is pronounced Olomouc, by the way. Everyone else will say Olomouc. I've been in Slovakia. I know what it's called. Olomouc. Are you a red or a blue?
I'm a blue.
Okay, so are you going tonight? Are you watching?
No, I'm a bit of an armchair supporter. My brother's been a season ticket holder for years and years. He sometimes takes me when he gets a free ticket, and I'm a bit of a mascot for him, but I would put my hand on my heart and say I'm a bit of an armchair supporter.
That's okay, you can be an armchair fan, and you can impress your fellow Evertonians tonight, Chris Griffiths, by telling them that team is pronounced Sigmund Olomouc.
Okie dokie, I'll just do that for you.
And just watch the pub clear when you start giving that piece of trivia. Your next song, Chris, is just an absolute classic. It barely needs any explanation, but it is I Am the Resurrection by the Stone Roses. Tell us where you've gone for this.
Yeah, I've gone for this. One, that it's 20 years old and it sounds like it was recorded yesterday. And two, that a little bit of a story that would be one of our first major gigs that we had was on the Hague building in about 87. And we were supporting the Stone Roses and they give us a little hand up the ladder.
They've said, I mean, there's been various rumours. Manny wants them to get back together. Ian and John have said no chance. Would you like to see that, or do you think some things are best left in the past?
I don't know. I think the more you mature as a musician, I think they'd be great if you got back together. Yeah, I think it'd be good.
I think I'd love to see it. We could have a little trip down memory lane, couldn't we? Either way, we're going to play it now. I Am the Resurrection, 20 years on. It is the Stone Roses on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, I Am the Resurrection by the Stone Roses there. That is the first of two songs from Chris Griffiths of The Real People, which starts with the words, I am thee. What's the second one? Well, you're going to find out in about 3 minutes' time. Have you guessed by now? He's from a Liverpool band. He's got to choose one by the Beatles, hasn't he? That's a fairly major clue for you. We won't get to it just yet because, Chris, before we get to your fifth and final song on today's Take 5 on City Talk 105.9, I need to ask which object you are going to save from the flames.
I think, obviously, the object that I'd have to save is the hard drive that's containing all our recordings for the new Real People album and all the previous songs from the Real People albums that we've been trying to get to this stage. So there'll be about 300 songs that the Real People have wrote on this hard drive.
That's a lot of songs, isn't it? Are you quite prolific then in your output?
Well, that's
what
we do. That's what we do. It's not just writing for ourselves, it's writing for other people. Mm. That's what we do every single day of the week.
How do you go about writing a song? Just talk us through the process.
Most of the thing is just a gift. It's sometimes when we've been writing for other people, say Tom McKinnon or something like that. You've got to sit down. I'm going to say put yourself in their shoes, but you've got to think. Okay,
that'd be a bit tight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you got to think about what's the best sort of song for these that we can go for.
Yeah,
and you take different influences and stuff like that.
So, which Tom McKinnon tracks have you written?
We wrote a song called, you put me on the spot there, I can't even remember what the song was called, but it was just an album track on the last album. But when they sort of split up, went their separate ways, we were with the same management, and we'd done individual projects with them all, which is coincidentally, none of them got released.
Aww.
But it took a hell of a lot of work, do you know what I mean?
Have you got a favourite Atomic Kitten? Tash
has got the best voice.
Really?
Yeah, Tash has got an amazing voice.
I think I like the sort of girl next door thing with Liz. So this is probably going down a dark alleyway.
I think I'd leave it there.
I'm going to be a Liz fan. You be a Tash fan. Kevin Katona want to do a record?
I think he'd have a little nice in with it. It'd be a laugh, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's rock and roll.
but it'd have to be my hard drive with it, because it's not just got this album that we're going to have released. We're going to have a section of albums that have been all unreleased, real people stuff. So eventually, it's going to be about 7 albums we're going to release over the next year.
Fantastic. I know at the moment, the best way to keep up with the band is your MySpace page, The Real People.
Yeah, at the moment we're going to be doing a new website that's going to be up and running quite soon. It's going to be like the official Real People website, where you can buy merchandise, old singles, old tracks. As you were talking before, you can't buy any of our old singles in shops or anything like that. And we have got hundreds of them under the
stairs. You know what I'm going to do? When that website is up and running, I'm going to buy a Real People t-shirt, then I'm going to batter it and throw it down the stairs and carry it around in a sack of bricks, and I'm going to wear it and I'm going to claim that I was into the Real People from the beginning.
No problem.
Will you give me like a signed letter of authentication saying that was at all your gigs?
We have actually got some like tatty looking ones actually that we've got like faded ones made.
There'll be a premium on those, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Really. I was into the Real People before everyone else was. That's what they should say.
Yeah, that's what people are saying.
Well, I tell you what, it's great. And as I said, we played one of the tunes yesterday, The Truth, absolute belter. And if the rest of them are like that, then you're going to be shifting some albums soon, I hope. Your last song is by The Beatles.
Yeah, I Am The Walrus. The words can't explain it, you know what I mean? It's just absolutely fantastic, brilliant song. My favourite one by The Beatles.
Chris Griffiths of The Real People. We're going to finish the show with it. Thanks for joining us today.
Been a pleasure.
Absolute fun talking to you. And keep in touch and let us know when that album's coming out.
Thank you very much.
In the meantime, here it is. It's the second I Am The, and it's I Am The Walrus by The Beatles. This is City Talk.